At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If you missed the first two segments, well, by golly, I mean, it was award-winning stuff. We laid out scenarios for this quarterback room. And I honestly think the Browns have to follow one of these scenarios. I actually think it's a must, and I think they will. Because they all just make, when you connect the dots and the pieces, it has to fall that way. And a real quick summation, if the Browns take a quarterback at two, that means Kirk Cousins isn't coming here. And so they'd end up with Ward or Sanders, Kenny Pickett, and then a veteran like Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, or Teddy Bridgewater. If they don't draft a quarterback at two, but trade back into the first round or take a guy at 33, the first pick of the second round, their quarterback room would look like this, I think. Kirk Cousins or Carson Wentz, Kenny Pickett, and then Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, maybe Tyler Shuck. And if they don't do that, then the third scenario is Kirk Cousins is a lock. And they know they've already got it worked out behind the scenes, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. They know that Kirk Cousins wants to come to Cleveland, would come to Cleveland. It would be Kirk Cousins or maybe Carson Wentz. And then Kenny Pickett. And then somebody they draft third round or beyond, Tyler Shuck, Will Howard, Quinn Ewers, Kyle McCord, Dylan Gabriel, Riley Leonard, somebody like that. Now, to sum that up, I don't think Cousins fits with Ward or Sanders. That wouldn't interest him. May not fit with Dart or Milroe. Dan thinks he might. Carson Wentz probably wouldn't fit with Ward or Sanders. If I'm Carson Wentz, I'm not coming here if they draft Ward or Sanders. Not, and again, nobody's banging down Carson Wentz's door right now. I know that. But somebody's going to be left needing a quarterback. And I'll tell you who in a minute. Wentz probably wouldn't fit with Ward or Sanders. He may want a more clear path to play for a full season so he can reestablish his value at this point of his career and know that he won't eventually be out of the gig. And so if it's Ward or Sanders, he knows he's out of the gig. If it were one of the other guys and he could get a chance to compete, maybe. Cousins would feel, I think, unbelievably comfortable if the Browns didn't take a guy in the first or second round. And this would be perfect for him. Same with Wentz. I would prefer Cousins over Wentz because of the more recent time successful as a starter. Wentz has obviously been kicked around the league for a few years. I think he still might be able to play. There's a name missing, Dan.
There is.
There's a name missing.
There is.
And it's my buddy Trey Lance. Did you notice I didn't mention Trey Lance once in this whole thing?
I was really proud of you for that.
You know why?
The growth that has taken place. Because the Rough Riders are really calling?
No. Because I don't think he fits in any of these scenarios.
I think you need to rephrase that sentence. I don't think he fits in the NFL.
Oh, come on.
I think that's where it needs to go. And
Dan,
I hope he goes to Canada, and I hope he lights it up and figures it out and then comes back here and plays well.
Pulls a Doug Flutie.
Because I will pull for every single quarterback, and I'll say this until the end. More good quarterbacks equals more good football, and more good football means less of me having to watch Week 14 Amazon Prime as the Tennessee Titans take on the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we're talking ourselves into Will Levis. It's less of that nonsense. I get real quarterback play.
I would love Lance. I think Kenny Pickett is your Trey Lance if you're the Browns. It's a guy who's been kicked around a little bit, but he has more starting experience, certainly. Lance, the thing about Lance that's intriguing to me, the Niners thought highly enough to trade up big time to number three to take him, and then clearly made a decision to pivot when they saw Brock Purdy play better. And, okay, Lance hasn't played enough for me to say he can't play in the NFL, except for the fact, well, if he hasn't played much, maybe he can't play in the NFL. But I don't think he fits in this scenario for the Browns. For instance, if you drafted Ward or Sanders and you had Kenny Pickett, would Trey Lance be the good third quarterback? No, I think Keenum or Flacco or Bridgewater would be better.
Right.
You know, and if it, I just don't think he's a good fit.
Agreed. You can only have so many projects.
Team's still looking for quarterbacks right now. And we threw out some of these names.
Oh, boy.
Browns are.
Right.
Titans. Cowboys. Because they have Dak Prescott and then Cooper Rush signed in Baltimore.
Right.
And Trey Lance isn't back there, which I think is interesting. I wouldn't be stunned if Trey Lance ends up back there, but I think they might. Jeff, I don't know. They need another quarterback. Jeff, let's put it that way.
I think you're better off asking Trey Lance for all the different flavored chips you can't get in the stateside.
Well, that's okay. He might end up in Canada, wherever he's going to get a chance to play.
There is nothing wrong with sending candy bars from Saskatchewan.
All right, be nice. I'm just saying the Cowboys need a quarterback, and then the Steelers clearly need a quarterback.
Yes. Steelers clearly need a quarterback.
And the Vikings need a quarterback, too. Whether it's a starter or a backup.
A little bit, yeah.
For J.J. McCarthy, they need a quarterback. So I think Carson Wentz is a guy who could end up in Minnesota.
I could see that.
You know? And he could play if JJ's not ready to go.
I could see that. They keep talking.
They brought Sam Darnold back from the dead.
They keep feeling like the team that like really does have each foot in a different pool and can't figure out which pool that they
exactly
want to go completely
right.
in. Like it feels like Kwesi Adofu-Mensah needs to like sit down with everybody in the room and go like, all right, what are we doing? And we're going in that direction and only that direction because right now we're sitting on the fence and this is not going to work. We need to commit to either go veteran quarterback, bring him in and let's go, or we need to go, J.J. McCarthy, you're our dude, let's go.
We mentioned the very respected writer who sometimes sits in this studio, threw out something. And you talked about getting a pillar, Dan, a pillar for the franchise out of this draft. And our buddy Jason Lloyd from The Athletic has such a pillar in mind.
So in his recent piece on The Athletic here, he writes, I heard and saw enough these last few days to believe the Browns genuinely like Travis Hunter. Since we're still 3 weeks out and they still have important campus visit to Colorado upcoming this week to visit both Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, I'm not going to declare they're drafting Hunter, but if I had to fill out a mock draft today, Hunter would likely be the name I would write on the line. Interesting.
That is interesting. And, you know, we all know the situation here. We know the quarterbacks that could be there. You have to assume the Browns, if they pick it too, and I kind of think they will, and I kind of hope they will end up with one of those quarterbacks or Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I could make the argument for the quarterback, if they're sold on that guy and they think he's going to be a beast, well, you have to take the quarterback if you're sold on
him. Correct.
If you're not, why would you take Abdul Carter? you put him on the other side of Myles Garrett, and you go and you become a top-notch defense, and you play, and you go win football games.
And your offensive philosophy turns into, we are going to run the ball 25 Absolutely. To 30 times a game. We are going to set up play action with easy throws and defined reads.
Exactly.
And that's it.
We're not going to let the offense lose games for us. We're going Correct. To let the defense win games for
and
us.
And we're just going to unleash this thing, because if we can win with P.J. Walker, we can win with anybody.
And why would Travis Hunter be the right guy? Because you don't have any wide receivers past Jerry Jeudy who you can actually say, yep, you know what, that guy's going to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And the Browns have already said they view Travis Hunter as a wide receiver, but he's a wide receiver with benefits.
Yeah.
As the kids say.
He's an athlete. I mean, like, that's the only way that you could describe that dude. He is an athlete.
If you can get help for what you hope is a pretty good defense while getting a stud wide receiver, I can see how you can sell that.
I'm in.
And in theory, you have guys who can rush the passer playing on that other side on the defensive end spot.
You believe in Alex Wright. You believe in Isaiah McGuire.
And you believe in Oba Okoronkwo.
And Oba. Good call.
So you have guys there. And you think you have that covered. And you think Alex Wright's ready to pop when he comes back from injury.
Makes sense.
And ready to be really good. So I could make the argument for that. And if Hunter is as good as many people think he's going to be, I can see that. And then you go ahead and you find your quarterback, and we laid out the scenarios. You find your quarterback that way, and you go play football. And if you give whatever quarterback it is another weapon, Dan, well, we see what weapons do for quarterbacks. Look what it did for Sam Darnold last year.
What it did for Brock Purdy.
There you go.
I mean,
you don't have to be the best quarterback in the world if you have some really good wide receivers and a running game. Hey, Brock Purdy, turn around and hand off to Christian McCaffrey, okay? Oh, wait a minute. Look, the defense is coming up to the line of scrimmage. Oh, look, there's Deebo Samuel. There's Brandon Ayuk. How about that? Hey, George Kittle's over the middle.
It's one of those picks, and I wonder what you think of this. I don't think it's a pick that if the commissioner says with the second overall pick, the Cleveland Browns select Travis Hunter, cornerback / wide receiver, Colorado. I don't know if it's going to get your fan base going absolutely nuts.
Because they don't know enough about him yet.
You think that's what it is? They just don't know enough about him?
We're so consumed with the need of a quarterback that I, you know, wide receivers who are taken number two, it's not a long list. We've gone over this in the past. Keyshawn was the number one guy.
Johnson.
Yeah. And, I mean, there have been some good ones. But you usually don't take a wide receiver that high. You know, it's happened. But you usually don't. And so I don't know that people have been thinking Hunter as much. I think it's interesting that Jason pointed that out and thinks that he might be the guy. And I could certainly understand the pick. They could turn in the card, and the commish could say Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Abdul Carter, and Travis Hunter, and I would be okay with it. Because to me, that means they think that guy is going to be the best guy to fit the Cleveland Browns. And if it's not one of those four guys, I would be flabbergasted.
I've got a hierarchy on it, but if they picked any of those four, it's not like I'm going to go start throwing chairs and be like upset in any way, shape, or form. Like my hierarchy, I think I would go of those four, like Carter, probably Ward, Carter, Hunter, Shedeur. And that's like how I would, and that's off the top of my head. Like,
yeah.
But it would be one, if they took one of those four dudes, I'm not going to be throwing a fit. I'm not going to be sitting there going, oh my God, I can't believe you screwed this up again. Like, it's not going to be any of those things. Like, it's going to be, okay, that's the dude. Let's roll. Like, or if they trade back and took Mason Graham, in which case I would be ecstatic.
Could it be a playoff preview for the Cavaliers tonight? They're playing something that resembles the New York Knicks. Could it be a playoff preview? Would it be a good playoff matchup? And man, were there some things in the NBA that happened last night that just were stunning. It's coming up next, about 5 minutes right here on Baskin and Phelps.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're a fan of the old TV show Bewitched, Daryl facial contortions, called Darren Stevens.
Oh my God.
Played by Dick York. Daryl has the same facial contortions.
Wow.
It's phenomenal. And I say that with love and joy.
See, now I'm going to have to, now you're going to make me have to look into this. Now you're going to ruin Daryl Ryder for me.
Dick York had great facial expressions. Daryl's the same way.
That is true. When Daryl's
into it, baby.
Yeah, when Daryl gets really mad, you know it. Or Daryl gets passionate, you know it. Or when you say
it's all over his face.
And when you say something silly to Daryl too, he looks at you immediately like, yeah. I can't believe those words came out of your mouth, you incompetent stooge.
We're going to talk Cavs in just a second here. We're just talking quarterbacks and laying out different scenarios. Cleveland in Cleveland wants to chime in on the Cleveland quarterback situation.
Hey, Ben, Cleveland.
Cleveland?
Okay. Guys, I think I'm stuck in between the two. Like, I'm thinking of Case Keenum, but that would be great for us because I think that would, you know, give us 8 or 9 games that we know we could probably win. But Shakur Stevenson,
Jadeur Sanders.
Sanders, he would give us more attention, and attention sort of gets the media to get everybody's watching us, and maybe that's to our favor because then later we could maybe get the quarterback from Ohio State too. And I'll listen up with you guys.
All right, Cleveland. Thank you very much.
So the attention does nothing for me.
No, like, I don't care about attention.
Yeah, I don't care about attention.
Wins take care of it. Entertaining football takes care of it.
Yeah, I don't care about more cameras. I don't care about any of that kind of stuff finding its way around. You're going to find that anyway. If you win football games, you have attention. That's how the NFL ends up working. Or if you happen to be in Dallas or New York or any, like, we get that too. But mm-hmm. like, if you win football games, people pay attention to you, plain and simple. People want to cover you. You get more stories written about you. All you have to do is win. If you bring Shador in here, would there be maybe a camera or two or three more? Sure, there would. But if that's going to bother you more than anything else, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean, mental fragility is mental fragility.
Cavaliers are home tonight against the New York Knicks. Cavs back from their road trip. Cavs have won 4 of their last 5 games. Knicks have won 4 of their last 5 games. Cavaliers won't have Ty Jerome tonight. He's out. Jalen Brunson out for the Knicks. But Cameron Payne and Miles McBride, who were listed as out, are now listed as game-time decisions for them. Carl Anthony Towns, game-time decision. If those guys don't play, you've got a shell of the New York Knicks going tonight. It doesn't matter who wins tonight. We've had a couple of other Cavs-Knicks games, and I've said, great, doesn't matter. It won't have any influence on the playoffs. I believe that. Do you believe that?
Yeah. I don't think it has any influence, but it's nice to have those guys play and then get a win because I think it's time to start ramping this back up. I think it's time
to start. I think it is, too.
Start playing these guys 33 to 35 minutes a night.
Well, you're shortening your rotation. Yeah, you're 75 games in.
Right.
So you've got up to 82. You've got 7 more to go.
Yeah, time to start shortening up that rotation. It's time to start getting those minutes on these guys so they know what's coming with the playoffs.
I would agree with that. I still don't know about the idea of shortening the rotation for the playoffs because what's been successful for the Cavs this year has been playing a deep rotation. Now, they have kind of tightened it up out of necessity lately because guys have been out. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, and they've been resting guys. You know, some guys have been dealing with some injuries and they've been resting guys and blah, 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 blah. I wonder if Kenny opens the rotation back up now that he's going to be playing everybody again, once you get to that point. You know what I mean?
I do, but nobody plays 10 in the playoffs. Nobody plays 11 in the playoffs.
Very rarely do guys play 10 in the regular season. Cavs did, and they have the best record in the East.
Right. Those guys get you there.
If it ain't broke.
Those guys get you there.
Okay.
You need to have those crunch time guys. That's better than the other word I was going to use. That you go to. That you're going to need to ride for 48 minutes. Like, they're going to need to tighten up that rotation, and maybe you bring in a Sam Merrill every so often as well and see if he's got it that day, and then maybe that becomes a 9-man rotation if he's got it cranking. But if not, 8-man, let's go. Like, that's, you got to start hitting that.
This thing doesn't smell like 8-man rotation to me, only because they've been so good playing deep this year. I mean, are you not going to play Dean Wade? For the life of me, I'll always say Dwayne Wade when I think of Dean Wade, even though I love Dean Wade. Are you not going to play Sam Merrill? Are you not going to play Ty Jerome? I mean, there's 8 without even blinking an eye. Are you going to give Isaac Okoro some minutes? Are you not going to play these guys? And honestly, Dan, I understand completely what you say, because that's exactly what NBA teams do.
Right.
That's exactly what happens. But I just wonder, because this team has done things a little differently and they've been very successful. You know, DeAndre Hunter makes 9. And clearly, you know, he's going to get huge minutes. So what does that mean? Max Strus? Does Max not get...
Might be on the outside looking out.
I don't know. I wonder how they're going to do that. I personally think you're playing at least 9 guys and you're going from there. Is it interesting to you, telling mean anything, that right now... You know, the Cavs are doing okay. Boston Celtics have won 9 straight games. Well, Celtics are doing exactly what you've talked about. Hey, let's get good for the playoffs. All righty, here we go. Boom. And it's even better than that. They've won 14 of their last 15 games. I mean, they're playing really good basketball right now.
But that's another team that we talked about, where that bench has had a lot to do with their level of success. And we've watched Joe Mazzulla in the past cut that bench off and go, all right, we've got our 8, let's go. I mean, that's my only thing with this, is the last team that I can remember with a bench like the Cavs were running into was, those Kyle Korver Atlanta teams. Remember, they would play with like Jeff Teague and Al Horford was on those teams. Yeah. And they would play like 10 guys in the playoffs and that kind of stuff. And it came back and kind of hurt them a little bit that they were playing that many guys and trying to find minutes for those guys, because when it came down to it, the Cavaliers had their big boys out there most of the time. They had a 7-man rotation and let's go.
But that team played that way a lot during the regular season.
Correct, in the same way that this one is.
I wonder how Kenny approaches the playoffs. And I think that's a big part of this. How should he, folks? 216-474-0092. I think, Dan, until it doesn't look like it will work very well, I think you kind of got to keep playing the guys that got you here. And that's not just your starting 5 and DeAndre Hunter. You know, I can't think of 6 main guys. I think you got to spell your starters too, because that's... And I don't know that 7 games is enough. I think part of the success of this team has been keeping these guys fresh, not just all season, but all game. You know what I mean? You're not wearing anybody out. You're not making Donovan Mitchell play 39 minutes a game.
But boy, how many minutes in a playoff series? Let's say against the Bucks, Giannis is playing, what, 40? 43? I mean, they're going to roll him out there, and it's go time.
And let's go both sides. Which is why you play your starters more minutes to match up with that. Or why you play your starters what you played them all year, to keep them fresh, so in the fourth quarter they can take advantage of a tired Milwaukee team.
Right, or like if Dame is healthy enough, and who knows with the blood clots and everything else,
yeah.
But he'll be out there for 40.
He may or may not even play.
Correct.
We don't know yet. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Bob's in Akron. Bob, what do you think? What should Kenny do here?
I don't think he should shorten the rotation, and here's why. Playoff series are always matchup games. So the guys that are going to be on the court in crunch time are going to change from game to game and from series to series. So I think he wants to stay going 9 or 10 deep. Because you never know who's going to be needed in what circumstance, and I want everybody ready.
Yeah, Bob, I kind of think that too. And they've been, if they haven't been as wildly successful playing this way as they've been, I'm more open to the traditional thinking. Okay, now you're gonna play your top 8 and play the bejeebers out of them and not hit your bench. But they've been so good at playing a deeper rotation. I wouldn't change it until it becomes really evident that it's not working in the playoffs.
And I'm not saying you need to go full-blown Tom Thibodeau here, Bob, either, where it's like, all right, 48 minutes, boys, you're all doing it, and if you fall down on the court, we'll give you some Gatorade and tell you to get up. Like, we're not doing that either. But, like, you know, like, in these finals, like, you're going to run into a situation. We'll use the Knicks as an example. They'll have Brunson. They'll have Hart. They'll have Bridges. They'll have Towns out there. And I don't want to be in a situation where I've got Ty Jerome bringing up the ball up the floor to throw to Sam Merrill and all that stuff in a game that's a four-point game in the third quarter. Does that make sense?
Well, I would – actually, I would let Ty Jerome decide who he wants to pass to, because I think he's going to be – if the Cavs are going to have real success, he's going to be one of the keys to run the offense for them. But, no, I get what you're saying. I agree. I just want them – I want him to be ready for any circumstance.
Bob, good idea. And the nice thing is they have that option. Some teams don't have that option where they could go ahead and play deep in the playoffs if they wanted to. Celtics, since February, 24-4.
Woo!
Woo, boy.
They're not bad.
Todd's at Amherst. Hi, Todd.
What's happening, Todd?
How's it going?
Good.
Going well, man.
So I think they don't, Jeff, I gotta disagree with you. I think they have to go 7 or 8 man rotation. I mean, you don't have the back to backs, and you know Mitchell's going to play 45 minutes, and Garland and Mobley are 40 to 45. So there's not enough minutes to go around. The nice thing about the Cavs roster is, based on the matchup, is those 7 or 8 guys may change from series to series, which I think is going to help them as opposed to
that's a good point.
Other teams that so. That's all I got. Have a good day.
All right, Todd.
And it might, and that might be the way to look at this, is it's more like, okay, in this series, I'm going to need more of Isaac Okoro, and I'm going to need more of Max Strus than I would in a previous series, because I need those guys with a little bit more length to them that I can throw at Tatum and Brown. Like, looking at it that way makes a level of sense.
How should Kenny Atkinson approach the playoffs, folks? 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps with Menigan right here on The Fan. We're looking at the team as they head to the playoffs. They have 7 games to go in the regular season. If you're Kenny Atkinson, what's your playoff strategy? Are you going to play what you've done all season long, where you've dominated the competition by playing deep, by limiting your starters' minutes, really, and not limiting them, you know, like to 25, but you're not playing these guys 40 minutes a game. And that's worked. And I say, dance with what brung you. And that's what's brung you, Dan.
And I say, okay, I can understand a little bit of dance with what brought you, but boy, I don't want to be in a position in the third quarter with 5 minutes left where I've got the Isaac Okoro, Tristan Thompson, and I don't mean that as an insult to either of those guys. They're NBA players, and I'm not.
They're on the phone for you. They're on the phone.
But I don't want to be in that position when I'm going up against a Knicks team that's going to have Mikal Bridges out there and Karl Anthony Towns and Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson. And they're going to be running their starters out there.
And I'm in this
position where I have, okay, I've got Donovan Mitchell out there, and that's fine. And I've got one of Mobley or Allen, and that's fine as
well.
But then there's Dean Wade, and Dean Wade should play, and Dean Wade's a part of that 8-man rotation that I would look at. But I just don't want to be in this spot where then all of a sudden I'm looking over going, okay, I got Isaac Okoro, who doesn't give me a ton on the offensive side of the ball. And I've got guys where I'm kind of playing with a little bit of one hand behind my back while they have their best lineup out there.
Jerry's in Cleveland. Hi, Jerry.
What's happening, Jerry?
Hi, how you doing?
Good,
doing well.
I have to agree with Jeff Phelps. You go with what brought you. And I'm going to give you an example of something. Do you remember years ago when people were saying you can't win by shooting all these threes, and then the Warriors came out? And because I remember hearing Charles Barkley say they shoot too many threes. They can't win that way. And look what they did.
They called them a jump shooting team, and it was supposed to be insulting to them.
Yeah.
Right. And I'll tell you something else. Perhaps you could look this up, but the Cavs seem to be the strongest team in the fourth quarter. And I think it has everything to do with wearing other people down. And the fact that the Cavaliers, don't they have one of the most talented benches, where a lot of teams can't do that because the players coming off their bench are not as talented as the Cavaliers players.
You know, Jerry, what I think part of that is? Kenny entitled them by giving them minutes. and allowed the bench to develop. And I think, I mean, if you're in the NBA, people don't realize how good you are. If you're the last man on an NBA bench, you can flat out play. Well, you can't play if you don't get out on the floor. Kenny's given these guys a chance to become a part of this, and I think it's really paid off for him.
Wasn't there, I can't think of the guy's name, maybe you know it, but I guess this guy was playing in some recreational league, and he scored about 50 points on these players, and these players didn't think he was that good, and he told those players, well, I'm closer to LeBron James than you are to me.
I don't know.
You remember him?
No, I don't remember that story.
Yeah.
It's a good one, though.
yeah, but to give an example, you've got somebody like Ty Jerome who on any given day could score you 30 points. And as far as
he hasn't had the opportunity in his career, A, opportunity, B, injuries have kept him from that in some cases, but not all. Kenny Atkinson has a little bit of a history with him, has given him playing time, and look what he's done with it.
And they're not going to put all five of these guys from the bench in at the same
time. Right, it's not going to be like a full-blown hockey line change. I just don't want to be in a position where I'm having anybody who is a negative on one side of the ball or the other side of the ball on the floor going up against another team's starters that are sitting there running them out there going, this is how we're going to win. It's just, to me, it's not an equation that favors me.
Jerry, thank you. James is in Medina, home of the Bees. James?
Hey, yeah, that's James Brown here. Love the show. My take is that if you, God forbid, and I want another championship, one of the Cavaliers has an injury, especially one of the core four, especially one of our bigs, now the entire narrative completely changes, and now we're not worried about can we get a whole rotation in minutes. It changes into, oh, my God, can Dean Wade take up space where Jared Allen was? Or who on this rotation can now help fill in some negative space? And God forbid anything like that would happen. It completely changes this whole situation from who gets minutes to, oh, my God, who's going to step up? That's my take.
All right, James. Thank you very much.
I mean, that's the situation for all of these. They've ran into that on numerous occasions. Gosh, to keep hammering home the example, the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks have ran into that often, where they get to that situation. Thibodeau's play those starters, they pick up all of these, you know, different injuries and that stuff that come with it, and they're looking down the bench and he's sitting there going, okay, is Taj Gibson still available or is he 45? Where's Noah? Is Joakim Noah down? Nope, Noah's not down there either. Oh no. Like, boy, they've ran into that situation on a couple occasions. And like, there's what I'm saying more than anything is, if you can limit the amount of minutes that you're having to play in Isaac Okoro, and you can limit the amount of minutes that you're having to play Craig Porter Jr., I'm cool with an 8-man rotation. I think that's what you got to do. And you're 8, at least to me. Garland, Allen, Mitchell, Mobley, Ty Jerome. So there's 5 of them. Hunter, which would be 6, right? Dean Wade, which would be 7.
Strus.
And I think Strus would then be your 8. And that's the 8 guys that I'm going into a playoff series with. And maybe if you want to say, let's throw Merrill out there and see if he's got it cooking in a matchup that we think he could do for, you know, hit a couple threes and all that stuff, fine. But those 8 guys are eating the minutes that are there.
I would say eating the majority of the minutes. I think that's true. But I think you're hard pressed to not play Sam Merrill. See, this is a guy that, and look at what they've done in the regular season. And I don't mean the players, I mean the coaches. You know, Merrill's playing 19 and a half minutes a game. Well, if you take Sam Merrill off the floor to a great extent, well, they're used to having him out there.
Right, you're used to running a bunch of stuff for
right.
him. And, yep.
Isaac Okoro, I agree with you. Isaac, to me, is not a real strong offensive player. But he's still been playing 19 minutes a game, and he's been serving a purpose for the team. That's 10 if you give those guys their normal minutes.
But then,
and see, I just think coach your team until the other team demands that you make changes. And if I'm the other team, I'm worried about the Cavs' depth, and I'm worried about having really fresh bodies on the floor in the fourth quarter going against my guys who are gassed. And that's why I'm not changing anything until the other team makes me change.
I get what you're saying.
You just disagree.
I disagree. And the only thing that I'll throw into that
only
is...
Only you and me, Dan.
Thank you, Dave Mason, wherever you are. The only problem that I have with that entire thing is we know how the playoffs go. We've watched it with the Warriors. We'll use the Warriors as a perfect example, especially against the Cavs. What happened in 2015? The Cavaliers took away the beautiful game. Or 2016 is the better example. The Cavaliers took away the beautiful game. And by that, I mean the Cavaliers took away all the back cuts and all the Euro screens and all of the different things and the UCLA picks and all that kind of stuff that they did oh so well to make that beautiful offense that Steve Kerr was running that had all of these basketball nerds drooling on themselves. This guy right here included. And I loved watching that offense and everything else. What did the Cavs do?
It was fun.
They took that all away. They basically said, all right, we will switch those. We are going to rough you up along the way. We are not going to let you be able to do all the different things that you are doing. You're going to need to beat us, your best versus my best. And my best is LeBron James and high screen and roll. And you're not going to be able to stop that. And that's what took it to seven games is that they muddied all of that stuff up and guys hit shots along the way. And Kyrie Irving's really good on his own, right? Right. So what happens when that goes to the Cavs? I can't run a 10-man rotation then. If all of my beautiful game stuff is taken away because all of a sudden Sam Merrill isn't in a position to find his own shot. And what he doesn't bring on defense is really showing up if he can't find his own shot.
Are we getting a little clarity on what the playoffs might look like? And I mean that just as far as who's going up where against what teams. Very quietly, the Detroit Pistons have moved their way up here. They're not in the play-in tournament right now. Which I think might be stunning to some people. Remember how, you know, they weren't very good, right? They hired J.B. Bickerstaff. Well, right now the Pistons are sitting fifth. Think about that.
That's amazing.
Pistons are sitting fifth. They're playing pretty good basketball. Milwaukee is now sitting sixth.
Cade Cunningham's playing his tail off, by the way.
Cade's a player.
Cade's coming around. Yeah, if you haven't watched any Cade.
So right now, in the play-in tournament, and... Right now, the way it sits, and this is the way it looks like it's going to go. Because if you don't think the Cavs are going to blow a four-game lead on the Celtics, and I don't, it's hard to think that the Bucks are going to blow a five-game lead over the Orlando Magic and the Atlanta Hawks for the play-in tournament. So that would put the Bucks out of the play-in tournament. They'd be sixth. But right now in the play-in tournament, it's Orlando, Atlanta, Miami, and Chicago. That's not a bad group. Now, do I think any of those teams can knock off the Cavs? Unlikely. I'm not going to say no, but I would say unlikely. And the Cavs would end up playing the eighth seed. So the team that...
I'll say no.
Well, okay.
I'll say no. You could say your thing.
Remember, the Magic took them to seven last year.
That's great. Good for them. They're more banged up now. They're not going to have either of these.
The Miami Heat have won five straight.
Okay. Bring me Tyler Hero. I like Tyler Hero. He's a good guy.
The Chicago Bulls are actually playing well.
Jaime Jaquez. Okay, fine. All right, fine. Bring me Kobe White. Let's go. Let's get five games in over Kobe White.
I'm giddy about Josh Giddey.
Josh Giddey, fine. That's great. Josh right, Giddey.
I don't think that's going to happen. But right now, then, you'd be sitting there, and the Cavs would play the eighth seed, and then play the winner. If I have it right, and I think I do, they could end up playing Indiana. Or what, Detroit, right, in the second round? That's better than playing Boston or New York. Interesting, isn't it? In 5 minutes, we're giving away a team. We're giving away a team for the big, big draft coming up, the 92-3 The Fan big draft party. You get your team. Get ready. We're going to take a caller coming up. We'll tell you when. We'll give you your team coming up next. And... At 12:20, Derek Clausen, quarterback guru from the Athletic Football Show, joining us right here on Baskin and Phelps.